Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Bounces to Gary Trent, right corner three, on the way, rattles home! A big Michelob Ultra three by the Bucks. Cuts the deficit down to 3 points.
Bucks talk starts now.
The three by Turner is no good, and the Bucks losing streak has reached six as they fall 106-103 on the road to Miami.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia.
Yeah, six straight losses now for this team, and you know, one of the big differences in the last 10 days, roughly, is we are starting to see some separation and tiers forming in the Eastern Conference, unfortunately, for the Bucks. There's still plenty of time left in the season, and it, in many ways, these first 20 or so games kind of feel like the inverse of where it was a season ago when you started 2-8, and you had a six-game losing streak in the second through seventh game of the games of the season, but you're kind of right back in that same spot now. The silver linings, I suppose you would call it, a couple of the positives that are looming is the health of this team is on the upswing, and you feel like it is any day now that both Giannis and Kevin Porter Jr. are going to make their return. It is a much, much needed return in the case of both of these guys, but the schedule does not get any easier for the Bucks, and again, teams are winning. The Miami Heat have now won six straight games. The Toronto Raptors have won nine straight games. Up until losing tonight to the Boston Celtics, the Pistons had won 13 straight games. That's how you start to see some separation form, is when those teams start to go on runs and you're going on one yourself, but in the opposite direction of where it needs to be. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Is six straight game. We are joining you, breaking down a loss for this team. It is now six games that separates the Bucks and the Raptors, who are the two seed. And, you know, even the New York Knicks, who are currently fourth, it's four games that you're behind them. Five in the loss column. 10 days ago, 9 days ago, whenever it was, the Cavs game where Giannis goes out with about 3 minutes left in the first half. You know, that game, had you won that game, you would have been tied with Cleveland. And it was still at that time just two games separating you where you were for the next couple of days, too, sliding down to 10th and eventually 11th. Two games separating you and the team that was second. That has started to change. I don't know that the Raptors are going to play at a 73% pace, winning percentage here for the remainder of the season. I dare say the Pistons are not going to win 83% of their games this season. And this Miami team, 13-6 to start the season, I think the truth is always somewhere in the middle. You know, a team that's 7-6, a 500 team, or a team that's winning close to 70% of their games. I think Miami is somewhere in the middle there. What stands out is teams like the Knicks, the Cavs, the Hawks, front of the Bucks. But you got to nip the losing streak sooner than later here because of that separation that we noted is starting to take place. And the fact that right now there are five teams in the Eastern Conference that have lost 10 or more games. The Indiana Pacers, the Washington Wizards, the Brooklyn Nets, the Charlotte Hornets. All four of those teams you looked at coming into the season and said these are probably going to be bad teams. I think there was some question surrounding the Pacers because of the makeup of that team. And because, look, you don't have Tyrese Halliburton, you don't have a Miles Turner, but you're still bringing back everyone else. But I think many of us question, is there going to be incentive to lean into maybe not having the most productive season because they got back their first-round pick? Right now, the Pacers have the worst record in the Eastern Conference, worst record in the league at 2-16. Those four teams and the Bucks are your five teams in the East with 10 or more losses. That is not the company you want to keep. And all of the teams that are currently play-in tournament teams, they all have three fewer losses than you. So there is already maybe not substantial, but quite a bit of work to be done to start to dig yourself out of this hole now and get back into that mix of teams where we all frankly expected the Bucks to be coming into this season. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk, as again, the losing streak has reached six, and you got another tough one Friday night in New York against the Knicks, then a tough one Saturday against one of those teams we mentioned that has double-digit losses, but it is a back-to-back for this team in the Bucks, and it's a back-to-back for the Nets as well. However, we've seen the Bucks play three games against a team on night two of a back-to-back, and they've lost two of those three games. And then next week, it starts with the Wizards, but you get two games with the Pistons, one game with the Philadelphia 76ers. So it is going to be a challenging schedule for the Bucks, but the hope is two of those names in Giannis and Kevin Porter Jr. are making their return possibly as early as Friday. So we'll take a look at the rest of that schedule. And I mentioned this on the network portion of the post game as well. This result tonight brings an end to two straight trips to the knockout round by way of winning your group. The Bucks can still get into the knockout round. It's going to take quite a bit of work, but they can no longer win Group C. So this is going to be the first time in the 3 years of the NBA Cup that the Bucks are not winning their group. We'll run through the most important details of how the Bucks can advance in the NBA Cup and some more of the silver linings and some of the things we saw in this game tonight, albeit a loss, 106-103 at the hands of the Miami Heat. More after this on Bucks Talk. 106-103 final score tonight in Miami. The Heat take down the Bucks. It's the sixth straight win for the Heat, sixth straight loss for the Bucks. It is always darkest before the dawn, as you hear, and that may well be the case here. As we mentioned, Giannis is getting close to return. Same from Kevin Porter Jr. We heard from KPJ last week talking about the injury itself and his progress, where he's at, how quickly he's going to be able to make his return. He was assigned to the Wisconsin Herd earlier today to get in some work with that group. And it does very much seem like it's any day now. I think he even hinted at first week of December was what the target seemed like for KPJ, which could be anything. You do play four games that first week of December. It could be, December 1st against the Washington Wizards. It could be at the back end of the week. You got two games against the Pistons and one against the Sixers. You would love to have Kevin Porter Jr. right now. Obviously, with the schedule that you have, but for another reason we'll get to in just a moment. And same story for Giannis. I think all of us, quite frankly, were probably surprised, us being Bucks fans, about the timeline that was provided for Giannis, last Tuesday? That it was a 1 to 2 week timeline. It felt like that was going to be a little more drastic when you watched it happen in real time and just his reaction. So we were all probably bracing for contact on that news and were quite relieved to see, okay, this is a shorter-term deal. And a lot of hope injected into Bucks fans late last night and earlier today as well, when you noticed on the injury report he was not listed as out. He was listed as questionable. But we heard from Doc Rivers after the game as well, just where Giannis is at here. And I know he was asked about it prior to the game as well, saying, look, I don't know yet. I don't know if Giannis is going to play in this one. It is actually a game-time decision where we'll see how he feels after going through everything. He is close. His exact quote was, personally, I don't think he goes today, but I just don't know. It's close. Same for Kevin Porter Jr. He had a great workout today. He is close. It'll be nice to get them both back. After the game, Doc was asked a little more clarity on the timeline of events for Giannis and just the status of everything, and said he was able to go through some of their shoot around today, but noted he, being Doc, he was very happy they decided what they decided. I was not in favor of playing him. He really wanted to push, but I was very happy with our medical team deciding, let's wait. And Doc said he told Giannis this morning, too, when he went through that shoot-around, I would prefer you not play in this one. And I'll be the bad guy here and say, let's hold you out, but let's just be extra cautious here. It is still early in the season. I know we've talked about a now six-game losing streak, and I just started the show mentioning we're starting to see some tears form, and you know, three games in the loss column separating you and the teams that are even in the play-in tournament. It's even more than that, separating you and those teams in the four and five and even three spot in the Eastern Conference. But there's still a lot of time left. It was right around this time last year that the Bucks were climbing out of a 2-8 hole, and eventually made the playoffs as a five seed. Now, I think if we've learned anything in the very, very early going of the season so far, as we're about a quarter of the way through the season at 19 games played, is that there's more depth in the Eastern Conference than any of us anticipated. There was a lot more, I don't know if I'd say gimme games, but you know, those teams at the bottom of the play-in tournament and really outside of the top six, there weren't any real threats out there. Right now, the Orlando Magic, who a lot of people thought this is a team that could be second or third in the conference, with the way they looked last year when they were healthy and now adding Desmond Bane to the mix, this is a dark horse team in the Eastern Conference. They're in the play-in tournament. The Boston Celtics are currently there. The Bulls, who started the season red hot and have kind of tailed off since, winning just three of their last 10 games, the Bulls are a play-in tournament team. The Sixers, same deal. Pretty similar to the Bucks, where you look at the way they started the season, the way things looked different. It wasn't the Philly of old, where it was Joel Embiid and or Paul George that everything was rolling through. This was Tyrese Maxey's team. This was a different version of the Sixers that was playing more up-tempo, more of a two-way team. They've now tailed off a little bit at 9-8, but you're still above 500. Similar stories for the Bucks. What it does mean is your margin for error, you know, it's a microcosm of all these games. Your margin for error, it isn't that great for the remainder of the season. And I kept pointing out at the time, I think it's applicable right now. You go back to last year and that 2-8 start that we mentioned. You know, if the Bucks went 5-5, if they went 6-4, which was basically the pace they were playing at the rest of the way, if they went 6-4 in those first 10 games instead of 2-8, the Bucks are the three seed in the Eastern Conference. So the challenge is, are we going to be saying the same thing now at the end of the season and say, well, if it wasn't for that six-game losing streak, hopefully it ends at six. If it wasn't for that six-game losing streak, or if it wasn't for that stretch where they lost 7 out of 9 games, and if this team, you know, could have went 500 in that stretch, the Bucks are not in the play-in tournament. That's unfortunately what you're looking at now because of how much deeper the Eastern Conference has been than many of us anticipated to start this season. And what teams are going to fall off? What teams are going to come back to the pack a little bit? What teams that are down there are going to start to pick things up? And you would look at teams like the Knicks, like the Cavs, like the Atlanta Hawks, maybe even the 76ers. But that's the challenge of navigating these early stretches of the schedule and letting winnable games slip through the cracks. Because you look at this schedule so far, this is where it's painful. When you look at that Blazers game, a very winnable game that should have been there for the Bucks. Night two of a back-to-back for Portland. The Sixers loss. And Doc talked about execution at the time of that loss to close things out the way the Sixers used their foul. The Bucks did not. It forced overtime, the final possession that the Bucks had as well. That's when you look at and say, you really should have won that game with the way that you were playing for large stretches of it and the opportunity that you had to close things out. The Hornets loss. I know you didn't have Giannis, but you didn't play well in that game. The Rockets loss. That was there for the taking. You controlled it for a large portion, basically two-thirds of the game, and let it slip away. The Kings loss. Those are four games right now we're looking at and saying, these feel like games you really should have won, either coming in or throughout the course of the game and how things were played. And if that's the case, you're 12-7 right now. It's a much different feel, and it just shows you how impactful letting games slip through the cracks can be here. Instead of 12-7, or even 11-8, right? 10-9. Instead of that, you're 8-11 and have a six-game losing streak right now as you're starting to lose ground with the rest of the Eastern Conference. 855-616-1620. The Siding Unlimited talk and text line. A tough one tonight for the Bucks, who come up just short against the Miami Heat, 106-103. I've mentioned a couple of times some of the likely scenarios for the NBA Cup. The Bucks can still advance to the knockout rounds, but they cannot win Group C. So we'll run through that and some more takeaways on this game, because I think there's one thing that stood out in this game tonight, especially in the midst of this six-game losing streak. We'll dig into that coming up next on Bucks Talk. 106-103, our final score tonight. The Bucks taken down by the Miami Heat. And, of course, it's the Miami Heat who are the thorn in the Bucks' side, handing them their first-ever loss in group play of the NBA Cup. We'll get to the NBA Cup details setting up for the final day here Friday, where we've got, in the Eastern Conference, three big matchups here, and any updates that are pressing here on the Western Conference side. But I mentioned there was one real big takeaway from this game. And, you know, to me, look, you should feel good about the defense you saw from the Bucks in this game. I'm not to say that there wasn't moments where it was not sufficient or good enough. There were certainly breakdowns. But by and large, you hold the Miami Heat to 106 points. This was a team that came in averaging about 125 points a game. And prior to Tyler Hero making his return 2 days ago, they were the highest scoring team in the league. So it's a very unique Miami Heat offense, which I think we saw twice in this game tonight, which is kind of the norm for how they're doing things now. That many screens. No screens, no pick and rolls, just spread out, pace, running on makes, just constantly running and pushing the pace. That's what Miami wanted to do, and they did for stretches. But I thought the Bucks' defense was very good in this game tonight. And as Doc said, it starts with your ball containment. They kept in front of the guys they were defending, and that limited the amount of times Miami could get those paint touches and just spray the ball out to open shooters. It was very good, very connected defense. I thought Miles Turner specifically, the way he defended Bam Adebayo, which we've seen other players on this team struggle with in the past, it's important how you close out against Bam Adebayo. He has started to add the three-point shot to his repertoire a little bit here in the past 2 years. He is still not a knockdown three-point shooter, and if he's going to take that three, you got to let him take it. And I thought there was that recognition by Miles Turner to just say, I'm not going to give you a hard closeout. If you want to spot up and take it, then take it. And Bam went 1-5 on threes tonight. It was a much, much better version of this defense because a couple of things had coincided when Giannis went down. I mean, first and foremost, this defense has not, as a whole, been good enough this season. Like, that is where you would start things and say, this side of the ball absolutely has to improve, with or without Giannis on the floor. And that's the other thing, is I've talked about this on other shows. I get we all have a tendency to be doomers, especially when things are going bad. I'm not quite there with this, and even with this six-game losing streak, even with the losing streak and the schedule that I've hinted at, I'm not there where it's just total jump ship, it's over, and let's think and assume the worst possible scenarios from here on out. Because, you know, more than ever, this is a team built around Giannis. And he has always been your best player. But it is much, much different this year. There is no Damian Lillard. And as good as Ryan Rollins has been, what you've done with the construction of your roster is saying, we are surrounding Giannis with shooters, and those shooters are largely catch-and-shoot guys. These aren't off-the-dribble shot creator types. Gary Trent Jr. can do some of that. AJ Green isn't purely a catch-and-shoot guy. That's where he really thrives. Kyle Kuzma, you need some of that spacing and movement. Miles Turner, pretty similar story there. So it's a lot of catch-and-shoot types that are out there and guys that you wouldn't necessarily look at to say, go create offense for us. So when you don't have Giannis, and that's the makeup of your roster, and there's no Damian Lillard, there's no Chris Middleton, there's no Drew Holiday, it makes it a really big challenge on the offensive side to just efficiently find and walk into good shots and score. When your defense is playing this way, it looks equally bad. And again, the defense had struggles even when Giannis was healthy. It started great through those first five games of the season. And that's the other tough thing to come to grips with and why I'm not there is that, look, I know it is a very small sample size of data. And I have talked about sample size being important and mattering probably more than anyone else. But I've seen it for five games with this team. Against good competition, like take the Wizards out of it. Every other team, the Raptors, second best team in the Eastern Conference. The Raptors and the way that you played and the defense that you brought against Toronto in that first game, to be clear, and won that game and closed out that game and took that game from Toronto. Obviously, that first Knicks game and just the different matchups that you could throw out there and say, we're going to put Kyle Kuzma on Karl-Anthony Towns. We can put Ryan Rollins on Jalen Brunson, and we feel good about these matchups that we're throwing out there at them. The Warriors and winning that game without Giannis. Like, good teams that the Bucks were doing this against. And then it just all kind of stopped. So to me, it starts with the defense, that you got to get the defense back to at least being, you know, better than league average on that side and turning your defense into offense and creating some of those turnovers and looking for outlets to get out and run. These are all things you just haven't done, you know, for basically all of the month of November. When the month comes to an end, after you play that game against the Nets on Saturday, barring, you know, two monumental defensive performances and blowout wins against the Knicks and the Nets, the metrics are not going to be pretty, which is not surprising in a month that sees you with a six-game losing streak. But the defense has slid down into the bottom 10, and the offense has just been basically league average during this stretch. So, again, for offense, you can point to the absence of Giannis, but we've seen this defensively even when Giannis was on the floor. I point all this out to say, look, the way you played tonight against a very good offensive team in Miami, it shows you there is a frame in there. There's a skeleton to a defense that can do some of these things. We're not asking the Bucks to be one of the five best defenses in the league, and it may even be unrealistic to say, can you push for being a top 10 defense? But you can be better than this. You can be largely what you showed tonight against the Miami Heat here. That's what you're going to need from this group go forward. And, of course, the offense and Giannis's return and Kevin Porter Jr.'s return. I'm going to keep saying it like we're doing a disservice every time we say, yeah, but there's no Giannis, to not include Kevin Porter Jr. in that mix as well, if for no other reason than what we just talked about with the lack of shot creators that you have on the floor with Giannis out of the lineup. So there's never a good time for Giannis to miss extended time and miss, you know, multiple games. But it's especially not good when you're doing that with no Kevin Porter Jr. and, you know, coinciding with Cole Anthony really, really struggling. I mean, that was one of the other takeaways from tonight. Doc himself saying he's really struggling right now, and we, being the coaches, have to do something to help him. He's turning the ball over, taking some really rough shots for us. We got to keep coaching him because he can play, and we have to get him to keep believing in himself. He can get down on himself too much, so we got to find a happy medium there. It's been especially tough that Cole Anthony is struggling as much as he is when you just have Ryan Rollins as your only other outlet here. Ryan Rollins played 41 minutes tonight, and you know, Cole Anthony was essentially benched in place of guys like Bobby Portis and Kyle Kuzma bringing the ball up the floor at times for this Bucks team. So getting those guys back is going to help you out there in the mix offensively. And then I do wonder, we saw zero, you know, to the eye test tonight. I don't believe we saw any zone possessions defensively by the Bucks. They've been one of the more frequent zone teams And Miami's faced a lot of zones, so you can't help but wonder if that was part of the strategy tonight. But Doc has also said, we really like some of the zone lineups we throw out there with Kevin Porter Jr. and Gary Trent. So is this something we're going to continue to see the Bucks lean into even more than they already have once this group gets healthy? But the other big thing I said, you know, there was a big takeaway. And it's kind of what we touched on of like, look, you can still see it, right? Like, it's like that scene from Hook where the kid just squints and says, there you are, Peter. You can still see something is in there with this group of, okay, the rim protection of Miles Turner, the dual rim protection when Giannis is on the floor, a Kuzma when you're not just saying you're the only guy we have that can throw him out there on tough defensive assignments, to have him as a tertiary defender type. Ryan Rollins, right, when you're not asking him to carry the entire load offensively and also be one of our better defenders, you can see those things out there. Kevin Porter Jr. and his gambling ability, and same with Gary Trent Jr. You can see the path for this team to continue to get better. And I just think the way this team played tonight and what you heard from Doc about the fight that was in this group, they were competing to win, the strategy that they clearly set, and whether or not you want to criticize what the coaching was going into this, fine. Prior to this, I should say. But for this game specifically, to see how they went out there and fought, to see the game plan that they had and what they executed, even if the losing streak was 7 right now, if this was the way you were playing throughout those games, and again, every one of those that we mentioned, that you would say winnable game or a game that you should approach this thinking, we're going to win this game. If this was the way you played against the Blazers, if this was the way you played for, you know, the duration of the game, against the 76ers. You saw flashes of this for the first half against the Cleveland Cavaliers, similar things. If this was how you approach that Lakers game, I just think the feeling overall, even if you're losing, but this is the way you're playing, is much different here. That's the roughest part, I think has been. The roughest part about the losing streak is the way you've looked in some of those games, right? Large portions of the Blazers game. The Pistons, you were clearly outmatched in that game. As they're getting guys back, you're still not healthy, and the Pistons are rolling right now. Sixers and those lapses that you had in that game. The Lakers game, and I understand it was night 2 of a back-to-back after a very, very tough game in overtime, a cup game against the Hornets, but even making a case of overtime against the Hornets, right? And the night 2 of a back-to-back thing, as we've mentioned, look, you're not the only team that has to play back-to-back games. 3 times this season, you've played a team on night 2 of a back-to-back, and in 2 of those 3, you've lost. So other teams have to do it. You have to approach those games expecting to win. If the way they played tonight is the way that they would have played through those games, I don't think you would hear nearly as much or any consternation, and there would be much more of, yeah, but Giannis is out, so let's just see how this comes together once he's healthy, and they can pull themselves out of it because of how they've remained competitive in these games. And that hasn't been the case, and that's what's led to a lot of the overall dread that feels like it's hanging out there. So can you bottle this and apply it to another big game? How will you respond Friday night in New York against the Knicks? That is the fourth and final cup game for the Bucks in group play. We don't know if it's the final cup game this season, but it's the final game in group play. This loss tonight slammed the door on winning your group. They can still advance to the knockout rounds, but it's going to be difficult. So we'll go through those scenarios and take a look at the other cup games in progress right now when we return on Bucks Talk. 106-103 final tonight in Miami. The Heat extend the Bucks' streak to 6. The streak extends 6 for both teams. Bucks have dropped 6 straight. Miami has won 6 straight. The loss means the Bucks cannot win Group C. So coming into the game tonight, it was an interesting set of scenarios here where Miami was 2-1, the Knicks were 1-1, and the Bucks were 2-0. The Bucks and the Knicks both controlled their destiny in that if either of those teams won out, they would win the group because the Knicks at 1-1, if they beat the Hornets in their game tonight, which they did, and then beat the Bucks on Friday, even if the Bucks beat Miami, those two teams, the Bucks and Knicks, would be 3-1, and the Knicks would have the head-to-head tiebreaker. If the Bucks went out, obviously they're 4-0 and the only unbeaten team. Miami was 2-1. This was their final game. So right now, Miami is 3-1. Their one loss, though, was to the New York Knicks. So why this means the Bucks cannot win the group is even if the Bucks beat the Knicks, because the Knicks have lost to the Bulls, there will be no three-way tie. So it would be the Bucks and the Heat both at 3-1, and of course Miami would have the head-to-head tiebreaker, does have the head-to-head tiebreaker. So the only route for the Bucks is through the wild card. And prior to the first game of the day, you would have said, well, that's probably out the window. Because in the last, 24 hours, we've had an interesting turn of events in the Eastern Conference and Group B portion of the NBA Cup, in that the Orlando Magic absolutely throttled the Philadelphia 76ers last night. They were, the Magic, 2-0 in group play, and then dismantled Philly in that game last night, which propelled them up to a higher spot in the East, a 41-point win, which took Orlando from plus 20 in point differential to now a plus 61, moving them past the Pistons. Detroit then loses to Boston to drop down to second in Group B, and has a point differential of plus 24. So there was a couple of important things that happened tonight, and in the last two nights, I should say, for the Bucks. Number one, your loss to Miami was not a blowout. It was not double digits, and it was a single possession. It wasn't even double digits, like it wasn't 7 or 8 or 6, which is very important in that every point counts. You lost by 3. The Magic scenario that we just mentioned, blowing out the Sixers and then seeing the Pistons lose, means one of those teams, you potentially had a scenario where if Detroit wins, you got a very high point differential team with both Pistons and Magic up there being the wild card team. And then in Group A, the Raptors had already clinched. They won once again tonight. They're plus 55 in point differential, but it leaves Cleveland second right now in Group A. So what we know in the East is we have seen 9 teams eliminated, 8 teams eliminated, I beg your pardon. So it leaves 7 open here. The Raptors are in it. The Cavaliers are alive. The Magic and Pistons are both alive. One of those teams is going to make it. The Heat, Knicks, and Bucks are all alive. One of those three teams will for sure make it. Your wild card is going to come from either the Cavs, Magic, Pistons, Heat, Knicks, or Bucks. So, if the Bucks beat the Knicks, the points are going to be important. So if you're the Bucks going into Friday, there are 2 other big games. There's 3 big games in the East, 2 that the Bucks need to keep an eye on, and they're both being played at the same time as the Bucks and the Knicks. The Cavs and Hawks is the first of those games. 6:30 tip. That game is in Atlanta. And if you're the Bucks, you need the Hawks to win. A win by the Hawks would drop the Cavs to 2-2, and that would eliminate Cleveland from contention for the wild card. Then the next one is the Magic and the Pistons. You need the Magic to beat the Pistons. If that happens, again, Detroit would have 2 losses and be eliminated from the wild card. Then it comes down to the Bucks and the Heat. If that happens, you win the game. It comes down to the Bucks and the Knicks. If those two scenarios play out and you win, you are the wild card by way of a 3-1 record. Cleveland would have 2 losses. The Pistons would have 2 losses. You would only have 1. So if you win and those two teams lose, you are the wild card. If the Pistons were to beat the Magic, you need them to win convincingly and drop that plus 61 number, and would also need to really raise your point differential. That is very unlikely to see that play out, where even if the Pistons won by, let's say, 17, that drops the point differential of 44 for Orlando. You would need to win by 31. So that's what you're up against. Those are the two important events. You need the Hawks to beat the Cavs, and you need the Magic to beat the Pistons. If that happens, the door is open, where if you win, you get in as a wild card. Now, of course, if you don't advance to the knockout rounds, you still have two games to make up here on the schedule. And Doc talked about this a little bit before in his pregame availability as well, going back to what he kind of experienced and what he saw last year in the NBA Cup. Said, look, overall, I like the event. I liked it as a broadcaster. I liked it for our guys last year. But in hindsight, I wish we would have handled part of it differently because of the way that the schedule is set up. And then it just puts you in a tough spot where you just get the one day off, fly back from Vegas, and you're thrown right back in the mix of the regular season schedule. That doesn't change this year either. And that's been the adjustment to this NBA Cup schedule is, all right, it's going to cost teams some rest days there. You don't really make up for it until you get to the second half of the season here in terms of the calendar, because you know all of November we talked about the Bucks play 16 games this month. They did have two stretches of 2 days off, but other than that, every other day are back-to-backs all the rest of the way. Next week, Monday in D.C. against the Wizards, Wednesday home against the Pistons, Friday home against the Sixers, Saturday night two of a back-to-back in Detroit against the Pistons, and then we don't know. You'll have at least 2 days off, but here's where it gets interesting. You get more time off if you don't advance to the NBA Cup quarterfinals. So if the Bucks don't qualify, that scenario that we just walked through, if you get those two results where Orlando wins, Atlanta wins, you beat the Knicks, you're the wild card, if that doesn't happen, you get those 2 days off on December 7th and 8th, and then the quarterfinals are played December 9th and 10th. So you will have 4 days off at least before your next scheduled game. So teams that don't qualify for the knockout rounds, they will play one game either December 11th or 12th, and then they'll play their second makeup game either the 14th or 15th. So if you don't advance after that game in Detroit next Saturday, you could have 5 to 6 days off. And then again, potentially 2 days off before your next game. And then after that, 2 days off before your next game. And then after that, you would have 2 days off before going into your road trip to basically close out the calendar year. So it's been a rough, rough go of it in terms of the scheduling and the cadence. But there are some silver linings there if you don't qualify for the NBA Cup quarterfinals. We'll take a look at that matchup with the New York Knicks as it's the final game in group play for the Bucks this season. We'll preview the matchup, take a look at the other games that are going on as we speak and whether or not any other teams have punched their ticket, and wrap things up after this on Bucks Talk. A spirited effort tonight from the Bucks, especially on the defensive side of the ball. The offense continues to struggle without Giannis and Kevin Porter Jr. And the losing streak hits 6, 106 to 103, final score tonight in Miami. All right, 9 games played in group play tonight. The big ones, Celtics beating the Pistons, as we mentioned, the ripple effect of that, I think opening the door a little bit more for the Bucks as a wild card potential. The Knicks blowing out the Hornets. The Raptors remaining perfect or finishing perfect and now winning 9 straight games overall. Oklahoma City doing the same to Minnesota. They're 18-1 to start the season. And the other notable games here, the Phoenix Suns are up 20 right now on the Sacramento Kings, 67-47. Phoenix is in Group A in the Western Conference. The Thunder are very likely going to win that group, although It's getting interesting now. If Phoenix can push that margin even larger, they can still finish 4-0 in group play. Lakers have already clinched group B because they have beaten all those other teams. They're 3-0. The only other team that has one loss is the Grizzlies. The Lakers beat them. The Lakers beat the Clippers. So the Lakers are the only team to have advanced. And in West Group C, it's looking more and more like the Phoenix Suns are going to be the wild card team with that 20-point lead. In West Group C, you have the 2-1 Nuggets, 2-1 Spurs, and the Portland Trail Blazers as well out there. Right now, the interesting thing is, in Portland 2-1, I should say, is Portland has a negative point differential, but because they beat the Denver Nuggets, they right now lead West Group C. If they win tonight, they finish 3-1, potentially with a negative point differential, and would win the group, knocking out the Spurs and the Nuggets from advancing as a wildcard team because of what Phoenix is doing. So there is a very real scenario where the four teams in the West are the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Portland Trail Blazers, the Lakers, and the Phoenix Suns. Friday night, though, we will get all of our answers. Again, the 6:30 games are the big ones. The Bucks in New York taking on the Knicks. And then it matters what happens in Atlanta for the Hawks and the Cavaliers, and in Detroit for the Pistons and the Magic. But our next game broadcast is Friday night. The Bucks and the Knicks, will Giannis and or Kevin Porter Jr. return? Stay tuned. We know it's moving closer, and the Bucks certainly miss both of those players. 6:30 tip from New York for the Bucks and the Knicks. 6 o'clock is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you once again Friday night.